Please turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we want to introduce our lesson by reading verses 1 through 6. John 14, beginning at verse 1. Our Lord is the speaker. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In John chapters 14, 15, and 16, Jesus spoke some words that were designed to comfort the disciples. At the end of chapter 13, he had revealed to them that he was leaving them and they could not go with him. From the response of Peter, it certainly seems that the disciples were upset when they learned that news. Jesus spoke some words that were designed to comfort their troubled hearts. That's why he began by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled." So as we study those three chapters, keep in mind that Jesus was speaking to the disciples for the purpose of comforting them. He was soon going to send them out on the Great Commission, and he promised that they would receive some very special assistance. But when Jesus was comforting his disciples in these three chapters, he spoke about a number of subjects. I think it's interesting, though, that he began by talking to them about heaven. Now, Jesus spoke about many very important subjects, but he began by talking about heaven. I remember almost like it was yesterday, one of my favorite teachers in school talked about the occasion when he preached his final sermon with a congregation, and he preached about heaven. I wish I could have been there to hear it, because I believe that Brother Bradley would have brought out some wonderful points from the Bible concerning heaven. But our Lord spoke to his disciples about heaven as he was comforting their troubled hearts. Well, we want to spend just a little bit of time this evening studying what the Bible has to say about heaven. We can't cover everything that's revealed in the Bible and it's a very important subject, but we do want to cover several very important points. Now, as we consider what the Bible teaches about heaven, you can't help but see almost immediately that heaven is to be a matter of utmost importance to Christians. Let's look very quickly at a number of passages. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Jesus was preaching his great Sermon on the Mount, and he taught in this particular portion of his sermon that his followers are to lay up treasures where? In heaven. Matthew 6, let's start at verse 19. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So Jesus said that heaven is the place where we are to lay up treasures. Just from that one statement of our Lord, we can't help but see that heaven is to be a matter of utmost importance to the Lord's followers. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. This passage mentions our conversation, or actually our citizenship. Philippians 3 and verse 20 says, "For our conversation, or citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, When I say that I'm a citizen of the United States, I'm proud of that. Now, many people today are not, but I am. We enjoy many great blessings as American citizens, and we are richly blessed. I appreciate that. Well, think about the fact that our citizenship is in heaven. That enables us to enjoy many great blessings. It's a great privilege to be a citizen of heaven. Well, our citizenship is in heaven. That's another way of saying that heaven is to be a matter of utmost importance to the Lord's people. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Our hope is laid up in heaven. Hope is a very special subject. I love to study the latter part of Romans chapter 8 because it reveals some very important information on the subject of hope. Matter of fact, the Bible even teaches that we're saved by hope. Now, we have to properly understand what that means. But where is our hope? Is it here on the earth? No. Our hope is laid up in heaven. And let's consider what the Apostle Peter wrote. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Well, those verses teach us that our inheritance is reserved in heaven. Now, we just looked at about four passages, and just from those four passages, we quickly conclude that heaven is to be a matter of utmost importance to God's people. Well, we're basing the points of our lesson on the things that Jesus said in John 14 that we read just a few moments ago. We want to point out from the Lord's statements that heaven is God's dwelling place. We want to point out that heaven is a prepared place. And then we want to observe that heaven will be the eternal home of the Lord's followers. Now, before we look at those three main points, we need to be reminded of several very important events that will take place before the Lord blesses his followers with a home in heaven. This is where we need to start when we think about those special events. No one knows when, but we know that one day Jesus is going to return. In John 14, he said he would return. Peter, 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, mentions the day of the Lord, that is the time of his return. He said it will arrive as a thief in the night, that will be unexpected. So no one knows when, but one day Jesus will return. When he returns, according to the latter part of 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, everything will be destroyed. Peter says everything will be burned up. Now, keep that thought in mind as you reflect back on what the Lord said about where we're to lay up treasures. He said lay up treasures in heaven. They won't be destroyed. What about things that are on the earth? Well, one day they will be burned up. The resurrection will take place. Jesus revealed the reality of the resurrection in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Our Lord said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation or condemnation." So the resurrection will take place. All of those who have passed away when the Lord returns will be brought back to life. And then the Bible teaches that judgment will take place. everyone. And the Bible mentions the quick and the dead, those who are alive when Jesus returns, as well as those who have passed away, will stand before the Lord in judgment when he returns. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone will receive and according to the things that he's done in his body, whether it be good or bad. So, judgment will take place. At the judgment, the Lord's faithful followers will be blessed with a home in heaven. Look at Matthew 25, and let's read verse 34. Jesus painted a very vivid picture of the judgment, and he talked about his return and his glory and all the holy angels accompanying him. He will be seated on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him, and then there will be a separation. Those who are on the Lord's right hand, compared to the sheep, will be blessed with an eternal home in heaven. He said in verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." These are some important events that will occur on that last great day. And we need to be mindful of these events as we study what the Bible teaches about heaven. Well, on the basis of that information that we've just covered, we need to point out from what Jesus said, as well as other passages, that heaven is God's dwelling place. That's hard for me to imagine. We can't see God. We believe that God exists on the basis of his creation as well as his revelation. We're convinced that there is a God in heaven. Well, since we can't see him, where does he dwell? Well, the Bible teaches that heaven is God's dwelling place. Now, you think about the place where the creator of the universe lives and dwells. I would say it's probably a very special place, wouldn't you? Well, Jesus indicated that heaven is God's dwelling place. He referred in John 14 and verse 2 to heaven as the house of the Father, the Father's house. Well, that just makes sense because in Matthew 6 and verse 9, when Jesus gave his model prayer, he taught us to begin it by saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven." As we pray, we address our prayers to the Father who is in heaven. Well, heaven is God's dwelling place. Now, that one fact alone ought to motivate us to want to go to that very special place. But there's something else we need to consider in connection with it. Since heaven is God's dwelling place, we know that it will never end. How do we know that? We know that because God is eternal. God is eternal. What does that tell us about his dwelling place? Well, it's everlasting. In my little business, I do a lot of repair work. I do a lot of repair work because homes, buildings that we occupy do not last forever. And there's enough repair work in demand that it keeps me rather busy. And I appreciate that. But imagine a dwelling place lasting forever, with no need of repair. I want to go there. It's just hard for us to imagine in our finite minds something lasting forever. But since heaven is God's dwelling place, we know that it lasts forever because God is eternal. Well, in Matthew 25 and verse 46, Jesus referred to heaven as life eternal. And in Revelation 22 and verse 5, the Bible teaches that those who are blessed with a home in heaven will reign forever and ever. Now, those passages ought to settle that once and for all. How long will heaven last? It's eternal. One reason why it's eternal is because it's God's dwelling place. God is eternal. So is his dwelling place. It won't be replaced by some other place. Well, that's a very comforting thought. Over the years, Teresa and I have moved many times. And we were talking about it not long ago that we're glad that we don't have to worry about that anymore. Because moving is a lot of work. It's very hard. It's very stressful. Well, I remember that for a while we had moved about every 4 years, and whenever we would move, we would have a large yard sale. We'd get rid of some things that we had collected. Well, after we had been living in our area for about 10 years, we were surprised that we were collecting so much stuff. And we began to wonder why that's the case. Well, we quickly figured out it was because we had not moved in a while. Well, we thought we were going to have to move for a while, so we had a tremendous yard sale and got rid of a bunch of that stuff. Now, since then, we don't buy as much stuff. You know, when you're younger, you get caught up in impulse buying sometimes. Well, with age comes wisdom, and you cut out some of that. Things aren't quite as important as they used to be. Well, think about heaven as being God's eternal dwelling place. There will be no moving. That's a very comforting thought. It's a permanent place. Well, not only is heaven God's dwelling place, that's eternal, by the way, heaven is a prepared place. And that's the second point that we want to bring up concerning heaven. In John 14 and verse 3 that we've already read, Jesus said that he was going to the Father's house, which is heaven, to prepare a place for his followers. I remember one of my teachers pointed out years ago a point that I've tried to repeat a number of times over the years. Think about that lowly carpenter from Nazareth going to the Father's house to prepare a place for his followers. I would love to have seen something that Jesus built. I don't know what type of carpenter work he did, but I think it's safe to say that anything that the Lord did would have been of the very best quality. It was observed one time, he hath done all things well. Now that was in regard to the great miracles he had performed. But Jesus did all things well. Now with that thought in mind, Jesus said he was going to the Father's house to prepare a place for his followers. Well, if the Lord prepared it, you know it's going to be of the finest quality. Well, heaven will be prepared in such a way that certain things will not be there. Now, we touched on some of these things this morning, but let's review them again. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. Now, we want to look at several passages in Revelation 21, and these verses point out things that will not be in heaven. In other words, Jesus is preparing heaven in such a way that these things won't be there. Revelation 21 and verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Go down to verse 22. "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Imagine this wonderful dwelling place where God lives doesn't have a temple. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? Well, actually, John said that the Lord and the Lamb are the temple of it. Verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. That's a wonderful thought. The Bible teaches that there will be no need of these great objects that provide us with light. Why? Because the glory of God lightens heaven, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. That's very comforting. And verse 27, the first part of this verse says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. There won't be any of that there. Well, Jesus said that he was going to the Father's house to prepare a place for his followers. We understand that he's preparing it in such a way that certain things won't be there. Well, let's look at the positive. Heaven will be prepared in such a way that certain things will be there. Chapter 22 and verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Every once in a while I'll see a body of water on TV that is just gorgeous to behold. Sometimes the oceans around some of the island countries, the water is just absolutely beautiful. Well, imagine this river that's just clear as crystal. When I was younger, I have visited a number of springs in our state, and some of them are quite clear. You can see the fish swimming around. You can see the various objects that are down there. Some are man-made and some are not. But you know, those aren't perfectly clear. Think about this river. It's a river of water of life that's described as being pure. It proceeds out of God's throne and of the Lamb. Verse 2, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This is a very special tree, the tree of life. The Lord is preparing heaven in such a way that the tree of life will be there. I always like to make this observation. Back in Genesis chapter 3, man lost his access to the tree of life. At the very end of the Bible, access to the tree of life is restored. Now there's a long story from Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation 22, but it shows how Christ came to make it possible for us to go to this place that he has gone to prepare. Also, look at chapter 14 and verse 13. This is a very comforting passage. It tells us about something that will be in heaven that's very special. Chapter 14 and verse 13 says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. The Father's house is pictured as a place of rest. No more labor. A place of eternal rest. So heaven is God's dwelling place. We know that heaven is a prepared place. But then we need to point out that heaven will be the eternal home of the Lord's followers. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 3 to his disciples, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, there's only way to only one way to heaven, and that's through Christ. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, that ought to settle it once and for all. But then he went on to say, no one comes to the Father except by me. Well, Jesus is the only way to the Father. Where is the Father's dwelling place? Well, it's heaven, and we've been studying about it. Now, according to Revelation 21 in verse 24, only the saved will be in heaven. Revelation 21 and verse 24. This verse says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Only those who are saved will be in heaven. Well, that ought to lead us to ask a question of the Lord, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus answered that question when he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And the Lord also said that we must remain faithful to him in order to be blessed with a home in heaven. Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, that's not my plan. That's the Lord's plan. He's the Savior. He's the one that's gone to prepare a place at the Father's house for his followers. We ought to listen to him. And he indicated in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, that we must comply with his will to be among the few who will spend eternity in heaven. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, our Lord said, enter ye into the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Well, heaven is God's dwelling place. Heaven is a prepared place. And heaven will be the eternal home of the Lord's faithful followers. Now, this morning we pointed out from Luke 10 and verse 20 that a name written in heaven is a source of joy. When the 70 returned from fulfilling the limited commission that the Lord had given to them, they rejoiced in that the demons were subject unto them through the Lord's name. Jesus said, don't rejoice in that. Rather, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. A name written in heaven is a source of joy. But Jesus taught in John 14, verses 1 through 6, that a home in heaven is a source of comfort. Isn't it interesting that when the Lord was comforting the troubled hearts of his disciples, he first talked to them about heaven? Well, from time to time, we experience losses. Teresa and I have just experienced one. I lost a dear friend not long ago, and that happens in this life. It causes us heartache when we lose a loved one or a dear friend, but knowing that person will be in heaven is a great source of comfort. I can't imagine going through this life without that hope. There are many people in this world today who don't have that hope. They need to observe our behavior and see that we're different. You never know when that might lead someone to ask a question. What's the source of your hope? And there's the open door for evangelism. That hope is available Not everyone has it, but it is available to all through the Lord. Well, we need to keep those thoughts in mind as we go through this life. Keep our eyes focused on heaven. We need to study about it. We need to read about it. We need to sing about it. Have you ever noticed how many of our songs and our books are about heaven? We just sang a few today. They're very special songs. And as we sing, we teach and admonish one another about heaven.